First Samuel, chapter 1, and we'll better read for verse 1, just to get the whole thing in context, I think. So, 1 Samuel chapter 1. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zophite, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeraham, son of Aluhu, the son of Tuhu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. And year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord God at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her. And the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." And she kept on praying to the Lord. Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." "Not so, my Lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning they arose and worshipped before the Lord, and then went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her, and so in the course of time Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." When the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always." And then if we go on to chapter 2 and verse 11, here we have the time that they actually left Samuel beside the priest. "Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, but the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest." And then on to verse 18, "But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. And each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, 'May the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord.' Then they would go home. And the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord." Amen. May God bless to us that reading from his holy word. Let's just come before the Lord in prayer. Yes, Lord, as we have read your word and as we look into your word, Lord, we just pray that you will just speak to us. Lord, we just ask that indeed we will see you. Open our eyes, Lord, of our heart, that we would see you indeed tonight as we sit here in your presence. And Lord, as we look at your word and Lord, as we think on it, that indeed you would speak to us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you know each heart gathered here. You know what we feel, Lord. You know exactly what we need. And Lord, we do indeed pray that you will be to each one what they need this night. In your precious name. Amen. Amen. So a very, very well-known piece of scripture, isn't it? And I almost feel tonight, I feel kind of inadequate, as it were, to try and bring you, I think, even what we're reading about in a way. But let's just look at one or two things and see what we can learn for this passage. You know, Mother and Sunday, I'm sure maybe, well, it's lovely to remember mothers especially, isn't it? And how much we are indebted to them and so on. And as we think about all the people around us in society in general, how important a mother is, isn't it? And apparently, the biggest mothers give more, well, up till the bairn is about three, they've made the biggest impression on a bairn's life, or something like that. You know, it's very, very few number of years, and how important it is that that mother, and especially a mother who is a Christian, isn't it, brings their bairns up in the way that God wants them to do. So mothers are extremely, extremely important people, aren't they? Or carers, or that kind of people, isn't it? And here we have someone that was basically in torment, and the other wife didn't help much, did she? She actually did it, especially just to provoke Hannah and annoy her and so on. And sometimes, you know, this is kind of what we come across in life, isn't it? Maybe some people almost like, or maybe we feel like to provoke us and get us to do things that, you know, make us feel poor and make us feel unhappy and so on and so on. And or even situations we would almost feel provoke us and so on. And how important it is that we, like Hannah, come before the Lord with it. And as we come, she says, she came in anguish of heart. She came very reverently, didn't she? And it was interesting, I think, the very first thing that she prayed. She made a vow. She prayed much to the Lord. And as she was praying, she made a vow, she says. And she says, O Lord Almighty, O Lord Almighty. It wasn't just even, O Lord. It was, O Lord Almighty. A powerful Lord. Someone that she believed was going to answer her prayer. It wasn't just, I can just kind of hardly explain it. It wasn't just the Lord, as it were. It was the Lord, the Almighty Lord. You get what I mean? The Almighty Lord that she prayed to. And sometimes I think when we pray, maybe, do we really realize we're praying to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? We're praying to the Almighty Lord, Him that can do everything, anything. To remind us that we can pray to Him. The phone line is open every moment. He's not engaged any time, you know. It's quite annoying, isn't it, when you're trying to get somebody, maybe trying to get someone in a hurry because we're needing something or so on, and they're always engaged, isn't it? And yet, God is never engaged. We can always get through, always open our heart to Him. And she came to appeal to the mighty power of an almighty God, didn't she? And she came earnestly, but she came in reverence as well and in humility. And she actually came in silence. But she came absolutely, as we were reading, from the heart as she wept and so on. And how much it is that we should be coming before the Lord and we should feel very free to pour out our very deepest feelings, shouldn't we, as we come before Him. Really to mind is that we can come and speak to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, if we want to go and speak to Her Majesty the Queen, we'll have to make an appointment and we'll have to be vetted and so on. And probably we would never be taken in anyway. We would have to have a good reason. And yet we can come straight to Almighty God Himself and open our hearts and lay our thoughts and petitions before Him, because that way was opened up to us by our Lord Jesus on the cross, wasn't it? And it was lovely that Eli, after he was told that she wasn't in fact drunk, he must have felt, oh help, I've kind of put my foot in it a bit. And yet he said to her, yes, may it be so as you've prayed. And it's lovely that he said that, isn't it? Lovely that he said that. And it's so wonderful to be able to share as we realize people are in need. Or also that we can go and ask people, can you share with me this burden? Can you share with me whatever, and pray for this and pray for that, as we'll be praying for you, your fellowship here tomorrow night. What a privilege it is to be able to share our burden before the Lord. So this is what Eli said, and it's so good, isn't it, to be able to share with people, to be able to help people. There's an interesting little verse in 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 16. 23 and verse 16. Now, this is going on to Saul and his son Jonathan and David. Of course, Saul at this point is actually after David. He actually would like to kill him. He doesn't like him and so on. But this is quite interesting, it said. David is actually hiding. And it says, and Saul's son Jonathan went to David in Horesh and helped him find strength in God. He helped him find strength in God. And isn't it a wonderful thing that we can do to each other, that each one of us can help each other to find strength in God, that we can encourage people, that we can help people to have more faith. So do we help people to find strength in God? Because we should, shouldn't we? It's a challenge to us. So I thought that was a quite an interesting little verse that we have hidden in there. And you know, Hannah, as we read in the story, she kept her vow. She said, right, Lord, if you answer my prayer, I will give him to you for the rest of his life. His hair will never be cut, and he'll serve you for his whole life. And Samuel, of course, did that, didn't he? In a tremendous way, tremendous things that Samuel led the people through and so on. And she said, right, if you give me a child. And you know, we could have, she could have said, once the child was born, well, I think we'll maybe wait another year, and we'll wait another year. Kind of like, I'm sure, what a lot of us would do. We'll wait another year, and we'll wait another year. And eventually, she never would have given the child. It would have been really hard, wouldn't it? I don't know. It says when the child was weaned, whenever that would have been them days. But if you can imagine little boy Samuel, maybe 4 year old, 3 year, 4 year, 5 year old. And then when she went to the temple, she took him and then she left him. That would have been pretty heartbreaking, wouldn't it? And yet she made a vow to the Lord and said, "Lord, I'll give him to you." And she stuck to it. And I wonder if some of us tonight have maybe made a vow to the Lord and, well, we haven't really stuck to it, have we? Maybe you say, "Right, one day, Lord, I'll give my life to you, I'll follow you," and one day really never comes, does it? Kind of goes on and it goes on. Yes, one day I will, one day I will. I will one day, Lord. But we never do it, do we? You know in your heart what maybe you've promised, Lord, and say, "Right, Lord, I'll pray more to you, I'll do this and I'll do that." And have we? And hopefully we should be like Hannah and say, "Yes, Lord, I'll do that. This is what I agreed to do, and this is what she did." Must have been very, very, very difficult. Extremely difficult. And as we read, God, of course, gave her Samuel, and he also gave her 3 sons and 2 daughters. And Samuel, of course, was used greatly in God's work. Absolutely greatly there. Even when he was small, I'm sure you all know this story, when he was lying in his at night, and God spoke to him, "Samuel, Samuel," and so on. And he told him about Eli and what was going to happen and so on. He used that little bairn and how important it is. We were praying in the prayer meeting just before tonight for the little bairns that come to all the clubs and various things that you have on and so on. And how important it is for each one of us to pray for our young people, isn't it? These little bairns, that indeed you would hear God's word and they would grow up in Him and find Him as they get older. A real challenge to us, isn't it? That we should be praying for them, isn't it? Praying for them and encouraging them indeed to follow God as they grow. And in chapter 2, which we didn't read, a chapter that one of these chapters, when you go home, then you can read it and so on. We'll just look at the first couple of verses. This is when just before she actually gave him to Eli, gave him back to God. It says, "Then Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God,'" and so on. She has a great song of praise, and a song of praise that God saw fit to actually include in His Word, isn't it? So we can read it and listen to it. Really tremendous, isn't it? And sometimes I feel maybe when we come to the Lord, it's so much a time of just asking, and Lord, I need this, and Lord, we need that, and Lord, will you do this, and Lord, will you do that? Which is not wrong, of course, because it's absolutely right that we should come and share everything with Him. But you know, sometimes I think maybe we lack the praise side of it, as we come to Him and lift Him up and so on. It was lovely, the worship songs that we had tonight, many of them lifting up the Lord and praising Him for what He is, who He is, and what He does, and so on, and so on. And as we were thinking about Eli, you know, it's really lovely as we sing together and as we praise Him that we can encourage each other in the Lord and find strength in Him. But you know, thinking about these praises, we have another quite an important little verse in 1 Samuel chapter 30 this time. and verse 6 about King David. He'd been away fighting, and when they came back with all his men in Ziklag, as it's called, when they came back, they found that where they were staying with all their families, it had been raided, and the enemy had attacked, and they'd taken their children and their wives away. And this is when David came back. They were tired, and they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and their children were, in fact, taken away captive. And a lot of his men actually, it said, felt like stoning David, because they kind of blamed him for keeping them away so long, kind of thing. And it says in verse 6, chapter 30, but David found strength in the Lord his God. David found strength in the Lord his God, or the old King James says, and David encouraged himself in his God. And this is kind of what Hannah was doing, wasn't it? She was praising the Lord. She was encouraging herself, as it were, in the Lord, who he is and what he can do and so on. That's so important for each one of us, isn't it? As we go on in him. So really tremendous the way that she came in prayer, and God answered her prayer, and all the things that happened, so important as we read. And then, kind of similar in a way, as we think about Sarah and Abraham, in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 16, Genesis 13 and verse 16, we read a lovely, interesting verse there. This is God, the Lord, speaking to Abraham. This is after Lot had separated from him. And the Lord said to Abraham, he says, I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. So that was a promise of the Lord, the seed as the dust. But then as we look on to chapter 15 and verse 5, again the word of the Lord came to Abraham. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Now it's kind of interesting, these two promises. They're similar in a way, but it's actually quite a few years ago I'd kind of had someone speaking about these, and they said, well, there are actually more stars than there are grains of sand in the world. I thought, oh, that's a bit much, isn't it? So I thought, well, okay, let's look up. Google is wonderful, isn't it, for all these things. Let's look up and see. So apparently, according to those that know, there are actually a lot more stars than there is dust in the world, or grains of sand, as the older Bible says. And in fact, they reckon there's actually about 10 times more stars than there are grains of sand in the world. Pretty mind-boggling, isn't it? If we took the sand so soon even and counted all the particles of sand there, there'd be a lot. So the second promise was actually 10 times more that he said to Abraham. He says, your seed will be even more than I promised before. Wasn't that amazing? And just to, well, if you like numbers, or just to confuse you further, I actually kind of looked up how many stars there are. And it's actually interesting. according again to our laptop, In the universe, there are actually 10 trillion galaxies. So that's quite a lot. And in each galaxy, they reckon it's probably like the Milky Way. You know the Milky Way? That's a galaxy. And they reckon in the Milky Way, there's about 100 billion stars. So, if one galaxy, there's about 100 billion stars, and there are 10 trillion galaxies, that's a lot, isn't it? And apparently, if you multiply the two together, you actually get 100 octillion. Now, this is where we're getting really beyond it, I think. And an octillion, when you write it down, you start with a 1, and then you have to have 29 zeros after it. You'll not be able to see it, I'm quite sure, but I thought I would write it out. See there? I thought, well, that's interesting, isn't it? Kind of beyond my mind. It's a lot, isn't it? And I thought, well, that is amazing creation, isn't it? That's what our Lord made. All these stars. And again, going back to his promise to Abraham, First promise was like the dust here. The next promise was like the stars. And they would have thought, well, there'd be fewer stars than there is dust. And yet it's the opposite. There's 10 times more, approximately. So that's wonderful. That's just kind of by the way, but it's really tremendous, isn't it? His promise to Abraham. And then, of course, Sarah, of course, had no children. And in chapter 17 and verse 17, we have God saying to Abraham, in the previous verse 15, God said, I'll bless Sarah and she'll give you a son. And Abraham, in verse 17, fell face down, and he laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. No, they were pretty old. Abram was 100, and Sarah was 90. So it's kind of pretty impossible, isn't it, that they were going to have any children. Humanly speaking, isn't that right? And then he says about Ishmael. And Sarah had previously said to Abraham, I think, obviously, I'm not going to be able to bear you any children. So you take this servant girl that we have, and we'll have a child with her. And that's, of course, what Abraham did. He listened to Sarah. You know, Sarah tried to hurry things up. She tried to hurry God up. She was, well, we could say she was fed up with waiting. And to be fair to her, you know, what woman at 90 is going to think, well, I'll have another bairn, I think. Pretty impossible, isn't it? We say, well, she should have listened to God, but, you know, time was really gone, 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 gone. But it's so important, isn't it, that as we go along and as we feel something that the Lord has told us or shown us or whatever, and it's not really happening, so important that we don't go before the Lord. We wait for him and say, Lord, is this your time? We want to do it in your time. We want to do it in your time. This is so, so important that we do things in God's exact time. Exact time. And then, of course, we have also later, chapter 18, verse 14. Well, if we go down to a little bit in verse 12, There was actually three men that came. Basically, the Lord came and spoke to them again, and it said that Sarah was past the age of childbearing, and they said, "Yes, you're going to get a son." And we also have there that Sarah laughed. I suppose it's no wonder that she laughed. She said, that cannot be. It cannot be. And yet we read a lovely verse 14. Is anything, will I really have a child when I'm old? And yet then she says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And isn't that a tremendous verse for each one of us here tonight? Maybe some of you here tonight are facing a situation that you feel is impossible. You feel, no, it cannot be. And yet when we take it to the Lord, we must in faith come to Him and say, is anything too hard for the Lord? It's not, isn't it not? This is the Lord God Almighty that we're speaking to. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And they got the promise, and of course, Isaac was born and so on. It happened. Really tremendous. And it is these two pieces that we've looked at. There's lots of different things, of course, we could take from the two different accounts of Hannah and Sarah. But it's so important, isn't it, that we come before the Lord in prayer continually. In all these verses that we kind of know off by heart, we're told to pray without ceasing, continually. John was saying about the hymn, it's one of these hymns that you can take along with you and sing as, you know, as time goes on, and even if you're doing something else, you can sing it in your heart, as it were. Really tremendous that we should be open to Him continually. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Tremendous verse, isn't it? The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. Oh, that we keep praying. Oh, that we keep praying. Maybe you say, well, I've prayed for years and years. But you continue until you see God answer. Amen. Keep praying. Keep praying. And you say, well, who am I in the fellowship, even in the scheme of things, that God should listen to me or whatever? And yet God wants each one of us to be praying, every single one of us to be praying. I'll just tell you a little illustration, and I'm sure you've maybe heard this before. In that last westerly gale that we had, a couple of months ago, was it? There was a piece of the, we have a big kind of a yard, I suppose, a dike that we, when we have our sheep lambing, then we keep them in there. A crib, as we would call it, quite a big crib. And a piece of the dike blew a dune. There was a slap in the dike. I've built up a bit of it. And the stones that they've used are horrible. They're quite big and they're just round and really quite horrible. And I've built up a bit of it. But what I actually had to do, and I'll have to go and get more, is actually to go and get more small stones. Because when you set a big stone on another big stone, you kind of get them to sit fairly even, they rock and so on. And what you have to do is take small stones and put underneath here, a little bit underneath there, and they're really steady. So, are the small stones or the big stones more important? In some ways, the small stones are the most important. Because if you don't have them to get everything standing steady, the thing is going to rock and fall over. Now, I'm not saying in the fellowship that the kind of bigger ones, you know, the ones that are obviously you know, have to make decisions and so on, the deacons and so on. I'm not saying they're unsteady by any means. Not saying that. But it is so important that every single person is praying, is supporting, is doing their bit, is doing what God wants them to do, isn't it? So that the whole thing can be solid and work together. I think it's a lovely illustration. You know, if you look at a wall, it's been built a dry stone wall, you know, you have big stones and you have all the little stones and so on. They're all so important. So if you feel, well, I'm not really that important, I just come and I go, and you keep praying. You're so important indeed. And you know, as we go on with him, let's keep going. Let's never give up. Keep praying. Keep on with him. Our hymn that we're going to sing together now is again, as John says, one of the older hymns. And it's a hymn simply which says about leaning on Jesus. And you know, if you're leaning on somebody, you're actually very close to them, aren't you? And it's so important as we go on that we basically lean on him, that we get to know him, that we commune continually with him, we keep praying continually with him, and remembering that the one that we're leaning on is the Lord, not just anyone. And is anything too hard for the Lord? Just think about that. But as we go on, also remember we have him, no matter what happens, to lean on and to be with us, whatever happens.